Welcome to the City Parents Podcast. I'm Helen Beedham. Today, I'm speaking to Sam Smith, founder and CEO of FinCap, corporate advisor and brokerage firm, about her career experiences and how she balances home life with the demands of her job. Sam, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
First question for you is, so you began your career in accountancy and are now CEO of a city stockbroking company. What decisions or experiences have most helped you progress to your position today?
I think probably the fundamental decision was back in 1998 when I left accountancy and I decided not to go into a big firm. I decided to do something a bit more entrepreneurial and join JM Finn to set up a new division. So that was really a fundamental thing, and that was 21 years ago now. The next really big milestone was when we completed the management buyout of that division, and that was 11 years ago. And that was really about thinking how we can become owners of the business and really push it to the next level. And that took about 3 years to negotiate, so that was quite difficult, but it gave us the freedom to operate then on our own. So those are the two real fundamental things.
Yeah. And do you have a next step in mind?
So we've just done our first acquisition in 20 years and an IPO. So that was the big next stage. And I think now it's about how we can build our business to £100 million turnover and how I can put in other services and grow to become a full service firm over the next 10 years. So yeah. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, sounds very ambitious plans. Continued growth. That's fantastic. And thinking back to earlier in your career, how did you find your transition into your first executive role and what helped you to settle into that? Because lots of our members might be contemplating that and it may feel a very significant career step to take. And I'm sure they'd be really keen to hear your advice on how you managed that transition, perhaps from a senior manager level up to an executive.
So mine was slightly accidental. So I was brought in to set up the corporate finance division. So I had a boss. And that took about 7 years to then run the division. So that's when I became sort of the overall leader of that division. But it was a pretty small team at that time. It started at running five and then ended up leading 25 people. Mm-hmm. And to get into that position of running the division was really about just managing through the politics of the situation, just not giving up, keep pushing on. And then the change between running the division and then becoming CEO of the division was all about just fighting for the buyout and to basically try and have ownership of our own entity, which did involve, you know, big decisions about will I leave and go and set it up somewhere else? Will I carry on here? So all of those stages involved a huge amount of negotiation and just pushing and pushing, not aggressively, but just not giving up to try and get what I personally wanted from my own career, but also for FinCap as an entity.
So it sounds like listening to that as that timeline progressed, you were less kind of hands-on operationally and more kind of strategic decision-making, influencing, negotiating.
I was
pretty
hands-on for probably 15 years. Okay. So it's only been in the last five that I've become much more strategic and out of the day-to-day. Mm. And weirdly, my maternity leave 5 years ago was the big turning point where I couldn't be operational. So everyone had to do the operational roles. And then when I came back from maternity leave, I never took any of the operational roles back. So that almost was a turning point where I moved from being operational to more strategic.
Yeah, fantastic. And we know that in the city, for many people, workloads can be very intense and at times feel unsustainable, yeah. Even though many people now are able to access some form of flexible working options. And then adding that on top, home life responsibilities, sometimes unexpected demands on your time from home, can really add to that work, that load feeling, mental load feeling very heavy. What would you say to other professionals who want to continue with their career, but simply feeling like the balance isn't right and they just have too much on their plate?
It's difficult because I think I still have this once or twice a year points when I think I can't do it. I think it's really normal. And I think you just have to get through those times with help from other people. So I think a support network, making sure you have got backup at home, backup childcare options, you have got friends who are in the same situation, or you find a group of people that I call my tribe, but that recognize what you're going through and just get you through the really difficult bit. Mm. I just think that, you know, the support for the tricky times is the most important thing.
And I guess as, you know, people with good careers in the city, it, you know, we might tend to think, right, I've got to be able to manage, I've got to be able to cope, you know, being competent as part of my day job, it can feel quite difficult to then say, actually, I'm finding this quite a struggle, or I just really need to lean on people for help.
And I think, yeah, I think thing to because say. It's not talked about, that you generally assume, and it happened to me, you know, I thought everyone was finding it fine. And when you actually talk to people, what you're looking like on the surface is not actually how you're feeling. So most people, you don't actually see how they're feeling, you see what they're like on the surface. So when you actually speak to someone and find a mentor or someone who can really help you, you realise everyone is going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And all I know is when I've got through those really difficult times where I just thought I cannot continue doing this, something has to change, that when I found the balance again somehow, I've really, really been glad that I've continued it and it's been really worth it.
Yeah. And you mentioned mentoring there, for example. Have there been times when you found it useful to have coaches and mentoring?
Absolutely. I mean, coaches for me have been fundamental, but also mentors. Yeah, I've had senior CEOs that are women and men who've both got me through different forms of challenging times where they just give you great advice, or they can just sit there and empathise. Or I went to one event with a woman that brought her daughter who was 18, and I just spoke to the 18-year-old daughter who was just saying how amazing her mum was as a role model, and it just made everything else disappear. I was like, this is why I'm doing it. And I got a whole new level of positivity. Yeah. And I went back to work the next day going, yep, I am doing it. Wonderful. It is fine. And it was just moments like that that made it doable.
Yeah, that's wonderful to hear. And you are the first and currently only female CEO of a city stockbroking firm. What's been your experience of being in the minority, in this case obviously for gender? But have you noticed that?
Well, I have to say it's not something that I have particularly noticed. What it's given us is probably an advantage to say, look, we can do something differently. So when I first took on the CEO role 11 years ago, when we did the buyout, I did start to think, should I do this, you know, like the equivalent men? And actually quite quickly I thought, actually, our advantage is we are doing it in a different way. We are having a different culture. We want to be more inclusive and fair about our team. So actually being female is an advantage, because that meant that other women wanted to come and work for us. And it was a point of difference in the market. Mm. So it hasn't been noticeable for me, but I've been lucky enough to be able to set the agenda, because yes, it's been my firm.
Yes. And how do you get that across as an organisation to people who, either customers or clients or people who might wish to be joining you? Because every firm has the wonderful statements about their working culture and fantastic policies on hand, but we all know that it's hard to know what an organisation is really like until you walk through the door and join it. How do you make that known?
Well, I would say our values, which are core to us, are everywhere. So it's from when you walk into reception that you just feel a different inclusive culture. Mm-hmm. People seem to be happier to be there. And above and beyond that, it's we get people to meet a lot of people within the firm, so they can actually talk to people who are there, who are either doing their job or be working with their team, who can actually give them a proper view of what it is like to work here, because I can say what I like, but they have to talk to other people. And if you start to get a consistent message from 5 or 6 people that this is a bit different, and this is why they do like working here, and people do treat you differently, that starts to become a bit more authentic.
Yeah, absolutely. And final question coming up. What's next on your list of unfulfilled ambitions?
Oh, so my big thing this year has been about speaking in public and being able to do media interviews and TV, so that I'm probably halfway into my sort of media strategy. So that is something I spend a lot of time practicing. I think the other thing is really to get our brand recognised outside just the financial services industry, into the broader entrepreneurial space. So that will involve a lot, again, of brand work and marketing.
Yeah, sounds very exciting.
It is exciting.
Wonderful. Sam, it's been a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you for sharing your career reflections and advice with us, and best wishes for FinCap's continued growth.
Thank you.
Thanks to all our listeners for joining us. Please keep an eye out for further podcasts being shared over the coming months. Goodbye.